I am not Michelle Obama, and I sure as fuck ain't Nancy Reagan. I'm the Bear Man, and this is the Bear Man Radio Show.
This is New York, the city that never sleeps. People come here from all over the world for the freedom to live as they choose, for the variety of cultures, but most of all, for the fact that it's not Texas. You say everything is bigger in Texas? We have a 300-foot green beacon of liberty, and you have a whatever the fuck this thing is. And what about the food? We can get whatever, whenever. 3 a.m.? Then how about an omelet with a side of meatloaf? It's 8 in the morning? Well, then I'll take a slice of pizza with sushi on it. What's for lunch? Vietnamese? Chinese? Italian? Bhutanese? Texas, can you even spell Bhutanese? We have two baseball teams. One is the best in history, and the other we keep just out of pity. You say we've got too much regulation? We've got Wall Street. They break the law for a living and never get punished. New Yorkers go to the bathroom anywhere they want. We love the smell of urine. It smells like freedom.
I'm Lewis Black. New York is my city. I share it with 8 million proud, amazing people.
This is my city.
This is our city.
This is our city.
This is New York, our city.
This is my fucking city.
We may all come from different places, but we all agree on one thing.
Fuck you, Texas.
Fuck you, Texas.
Fuck Texas. They can suck my New York dick.
No, Texas.
Rick Perry, you are a schmuck.
Remember the Alamo? Neither do we. Fuck Texas.
Texas, yahoo, mendo.
Texas, vot fer enculé.
Kulchem, tilchuli zdayen.
Vafangula, Texas.
Texas,
papu karalyu pa.
Shiv shanon on Texas.
Don't mess with Texas. No. Don't fuck with New York.
July 25th in the year of the BMR 2013. Welcome back to the greatest spectacle on InYourFaceRadio.net, MadTomato.fm, and the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.fm. Moving forward, bitches, and that is the Bear Man Radio Show. Oh, I'm happy like a schoolgirl tonight. How are we all doing on this wonderful Thursday night? Now, before I run down tonight's wonderful show, it's time to testify. That's right, kids. I will be doing my Obamacare presentation. Finally, the healing properties of psychedelic drugs. Grobeck from the Scream Cafe with Monkey Head. The Amash Amendment. Tissues for Issues. Fareed Zakaria's a douchebag. Christopher Frito from Don't Worry About the Government, and your favorite Bob Grant is here to do the real bullshit news. And you guys, 888-874-4888, welcome back to your Thursday night crack, and that is the Bear Man Radio Show. Yes, rejoice! Yes, we're never, ever going to do a fucking show like we did last fucking week ever again. Ever again! Let me give you a fucking hint, real quick, about what I fucking do all week. Aside from unpacking boxes for the fucking disgusting consumer pieces of shit that come and inhabit shopping malls instead of taking care of their fucking families. Let me tell you what else I fucking do, aside from taking care of my mother who's got stage 4 fucking cancer. You know what else I fucking do all fucking week? I do nothing but research for this fucking show. Every single fucking week. I sit there and reference and cross-reference and reference and cross-reference so that you, the listener, when you listen to this show, you may not agree with me. You might think I'm out of my fucking mind. But you cannot tell me that I did not research the topic specifically The last 2 fucking weeks, we talked about the horrible case of Mr. Trayvon Martin and that fat fuck, George Zimmerman. There's nothing more I'm going to say about the fucking topic. Nothing. I don't care if Skittles come out of George Zimmerman's fucking ass. I will not hear that fat fuck's name on my show tonight. And if you think you're gonna fucking bring it up, I fucking dare you to bring it up. I fucking double dog dare you to bring it up. Anyway, on to the good news, guys. Bill Press has been kicked the fuck off of Sirius Left. Yes, rejoice, ladies and gentlemen. You will finally get money. You'll probably get your money's worth, excuse me, from the subscription to Sirius Left. Yes, Bill Press is probably the worst broadcaster that I've ever heard in my entire fucking life. And the only reason why big old Bill ever had a show in the first place is because he stuck his head so far up the Democratic National Committee's ass and is a member and also full functioning member of the Democratic Party. And that's the only fucking reason why he had a show. Okay? If you go back to the 70s during Crossfire when he was on there, he put you to fucking sleep. If it wasn't for fucking Bob Novak, who's a fucking asshole, but anyway, he still was entertaining, aside from Big Bill.
Oh, well, the issue is this. Oh, well, the issue is that. Oh, let me read this talking point. Let me read this talking point again. You unoriginal fuck.
And then you have these other two, Dan Ragburn and Dan Henning, where the fuck their names are. They're actually good broadcasters. But you stuff them in the back, Bill, and this is what you get. Just like I've said for the last 6 months, you suck. Anybody could do the fucking talking point, dipshit. I'm glad you're off the air, so fuck you. Later, many happy returns back to the DNC. You can stick your head up Obama's ass now, motherfucker. How you doing, Dan? Welcome back, Dan Anderson, to the show. Yes. Yes. Welcome back, Dan. How are you, dude? What's going on?
I'm doing all right. I'm feeling really good. I'm about ready to embark upon an adventure. I'm doing a little road trip.
Nice,
and
dude.
And I'm leaving Monday. Yeah.
Where are you going?
We're going to Glacier Park. Then we're going to that other park north of there in Canada. I guess there might be bigger mountains there or something.
So you're going to be in Vancouver?
Well, then we're going to Yellowstone. Then we're going to Vancouver after that.
If you go to Vancouver, okay, there's a place like maybe an hour and a half outside called Harrison Hot Springs. It's the best fucking place I've ever been to in my life, okay? If you go to the resort's like, it's a little pricey for the night, but it's completely fucking worth it, okay? What you do is you go in and you go on this thing that I call Rancho Relaxo, okay? You go in. They have wine bar, right? So you drink wine, then you go into like a super heated natural hot spring pool, right? Then you go into another pool that's a little less warm, but still warm. Then warm again, then into an ice cold swimming pool, another glass of wine. You do that 7 times and you're fucking golden, man. Golden. And then they have this shit called sockeye salmon, which is like salmon you've never, it's so good. Wild. Salmon-y, delicious. Oh, man, I envy you, man. I love nice. It out west.
Yeah.
Once I'm done taking care of my mom, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going out fucking west. The west is where it's at. Fuck the east. Fuck the south. The west, dude. The west, as Jim Morrison said, is definitely the fucking best, man. Without a doubt.
Oh, yeah.
And the best part is you have to go to legal weed states, and you could actually, if you wanted to, get out of your car, walk into a store, buy an ounce of weed, and go back to your hotel room and have fucking fun and get stoned. That's fucking awesome, dude.
It's kind of like, it's pretty amazing, actually, when you think about it.
Like, what are you gonna, like, seriously, as potheads in the East Coast, we're completely deprived because we're not allowed to fucking smoke weed here, even though it's this liberal bastion. This isn't fucking liberal at all. Fucking kids get killed over a quarter ounce of weed like Romarley Graham did. But us as potheads, Dan and I don't know how I'd react walking into a store for the first time buying weed legally. I'd feel fucking weird as shit, bro.
It's something like a kid walking into a freaking candy store, you know? Or, like, it's just crazy to think that.
I mean, all the stuff. Now they have this stuff called butane honey oil, or BHO, which is like wax, dude. And it's just like pure extract of THC. And they have these pens that you smoke it in. They're called vape pens, right? So you could literally, I could be sitting in here smoking a fucking vape pen. Nobody would even notice it. Like, nobody.
Turn off your fucking phone, all right?
You know what I'm saying?
How about that?
My phone's important, man. But what I'm saying is, is like, you know, like these pens are the fucking shit. I could just smoke anywhere. People are bringing them on planes and adding strawberry additive to them. So nobody could smell them. People are openly getting high on planes now with these fucking things. It is fucking awesome.
Wow.
I gotta love the fucking pot. 888-874-4888 is our number tonight. 888-874-4888. We are live and direct in New York City, motherfuckers, at the wonderful Gary Null Building. So, again, you know, we can't talk about weed the whole time. We'll talk about weed in a minute. Because we're gonna get to mushrooms, because we gotta talk about mushrooms, because we found some very good things about mushrooms. But Gary didn't bring us in here and didn't tell me, hey, man, you got a two-hour show every night because we're just going to sit there and fucking talk about weed and, you know, hookers and drugs and all that other shit. No, he asked us to talk about fucking politics, ladies and gentlemen, and that's exactly what I'm going to give you. Last week from the New York Times, state insurance regulators say they have approved rates for 2014 that are at least 50% lower on the average than those currently available in New York. Beginning in October, individuals in New York City who now pay $1,000 a month for health coverage will be able to shop for health insurance for as little as $308 a month. Oh, my God! With federal subsidies, the cost could be even lower. That's right. Supporters of the new health care law, the Affordable Care Act, credited the drop in rates to an online purchasing exchange the law created, which they say is spurring competition amongst insurers that are anticipating an influx of new customers. The law requires that an exchange be started in every single state. We're seeing in New York what we've seen in other states like California and Oregon, that competition and transparency in the marketplace are leading to affordable new choices for families, said Joanne Peters, a spokesperson for the Department of Health and Human Services. State officials estimate that as many as 615,000 individuals will buy health insurance on their own for the first time in years. That's right. Wah, wah, wah. And this is why I hate propaganda. I fucking despise propaganda. There is nothing more devious or sinister than a half-truth, guys, because people tend to never research it. And when they do fucking research, they look at the first thing that pops up on Google, read a couple paragraphs, and then feel automatically fucking satisfied with themselves. Now, here is a telltale sign, ladies and gentlemen, that you know you are being lied to. You can tell because when the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, Forbes Magazine, the LA Times, and the Washington Post agree on something, you better start fucking researching immediately, because there is a very good chance that you are not only being lied to, but the capitalists are trying to further any one of their filthy little agendas, which ultimately ends in capitalist control of every aspect of your fucking life. The latest thing they're all merging on, to my surprise at first, is Obamacare, a.k.a. RomneyCare, a.k.a. the Affordable Care Act, a.k.a. the insurance company bailout plan. To quote Alan Grayson, don't get sick, and if you do get sick, die quickly. Now, I know he was talking about the Republicans, but in reality, his statement applies perfectly to capitalist-run healthcare. See, guys, here's something that I can guarantee will fucking happen to you. You're gonna get old, you're gonna get fucking sick, and then you're gonna fucking die, motherfucker! In fact, it's going to happen to all of us. Provided that we're not victims of some violent episode or some crazy fucking accident. It's just like taxes and everything else, man. Death is fucking inevitable. But since we do all get sick, and we do all fucking die, the capitalists have found yet another way to make money off of things that are inevitable and out of your control. And what is it that the capitalists are doing? By making profits off of the inevitable and people's misery, capitalism shows that it's only interested in glorifying and valorizing money and profit above all other things. Since money is only a measure of your fucking labor, The capitalists exploit your labor and then turn it around and use it against you. That's right. And they use it against you so you can spend it on maintenance on yourself. All the while, your maintenance is in their fucking favor. Your maintenance makes them fucking money. And this is exactly why I am so opposed to Romney Obamacare. Everybody harps on the fact that these insurance companies can no longer deny you for a pre-existing condition. But what they're not fucking telling you is that Obamacare puts millions of new customers into the hands of the very same pieces of shit who created the healthcare mess in the first fucking place. They dressed it up as a universal coverage scheme. But in reality, all Obamacare does is reduce the human being to car insurance with basic liability insurance. And like car insurance, ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to be denied coverage. But it's the level of coverage that you can afford is what becomes the ultimate decider. If you ever got into a car accident with just liability, I think you understand exactly what I mean. Now, let's get to the bones of this shit. The first thing the capitalists do in order to sell you on anything is they first try to make it an intellectual no-brainer by using their media companies, their journalists against you. I would like to highlight two pieces tonight. First, the wonderful Paul Krugman's article in the New York Times, and then Rick Unger's piece from Forbes magazine. We will start with Mr. Krugman's, and we will also start two paragraphs down.
Before I can explain what the news means, I need to make a crucial point. Obamacare is a deeply conservative reform, not in the political sense, even though it was a Republican proposal, but in terms of leaving most people's health care unaffected. Americans who receive health insurance from their employers or Medicare and Medicaid won't have their insurance affected at all. And right there is the propaganda. You will see almost no changes in your insurance coverage at all.
That's like a fucking weatherman telling you that it's going to be partly cloudy with a chance of rain. So conveniently truthful at hiding a fucking lie.
But what exactly does that mean, Paul? We'll see almost no changes. Are you talking about our wonderful president who hasn't changed anything except for the fucking worse?
The article continues. There are, however, millions of Americans who don't receive insurance either from their employers or from government programs. Obamacare closes the gap with a three-part approach. First, community rating everywhere. No more exclusion based on pre-existing condition. Second, the mandate. You must buy insurance even if you're currently healthy. Third, subsidies to make insurance affordable for those with lower incomes. So in other words, the trade was simple. The insurance companies will accept people with pre-existing conditions in exchange for the government mandating that you buy in to the same fucking healthcare that fucked up the system and you in the first fucking place. This capitalist continues. Skeptics argued, however, that Massachusetts was special. It had relatively few uninsured residents. Even before the reform, it had already had a community rating. But what would happen elsewhere? In particular, what would happen in California? Where blah, 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 blah. Well, in California, guys, the bids are in, and insurers have submitted the prices they're willing to cover. And just like New York, they're conveniently low. And now let's go to Mr. Unger's piece in the rival Forbes right-wing magazine. Every now and then, a political pundit is required to stand up and admit to the world that he got it wrong. For me, it would be one of these moments. It is increasingly clear that I had it wrong. Yesterday, Covered California released the premium rates submitted by participating health insurance companies for the four major insurance program categories, bronze, silver, gold, and platinum, established by the Affordable Care Act. And here we go again with this color-coded bullshit! All a bronze, silver, gold, and platinum plan do is further classify you! They further put you into a class! You're either a platinum citizen, a gold citizen, a silver citizen, or a fucking bronze citizen! You're not just a citizen, you're not just equal, you don't deserve equal coverage or healthcare, you deserve to pick one of these colors to put yourself fucking into! What, Jonathan Cohen of the New Republic correctly points out, one reason for the misplaced expectations may be that actuaries have been making worst-case assumptions, even as insurers, eyeing the prospects of so many new customers, have been calculating that it's worth bidding low in order to gobble up market share. This would help explain why the bids are increasingly low. And it seems, my dear Mr. Unger, in your column, where you twist and turn this quote left and right and left and right, you seem to miss something. You miss something so big in the whole statement that Mr. Cohen made that you glaringly gloss over it. And here is the quote again. Eyeing the prospects of so many new customers, having been calculating that it's worth bidding low in order to gobble up market share. And now, Dan, I need definition music. And now it's time for definitions, ladies and gentlemen. An introductory rate is a low rate offered for financing as an incentive to apply for said financing. This rate is usually lower than the typical market rate of investment and offered only for a limited time. It also may have other restrictions. The rate may only apply to balance transfers, purchases, or cash advances. And that's exactly what this is. Do you see what's going on here? The capitalists are offering you an incredibly low introductory rate so people buy into it, so they can gobble up market share. The other reason why the rates are so low is that they force the hands of the so-called Republican governors to also buy into the program, which, by the way, is exactly what they are going to do. The Republican governors will buy into the plan because this isn't socialized medicine. This is capitalist control of insurance, setting up four classes of coverage instead of universal, socialized coverage. This is exactly the same system, except the trade-off being is that they will accept the pre-existing conditions as long as you force people to buy the same shitty product that got us in this mess in the first place. This is also part of the age-old capitalist formula. Offer many alternatives, flood the market with choices, and then once critical mass or a high point of insured people have been reached, the capitalists then begin to concentrate their wealth into only a few hands. They do this by running other businesses out of business, mergers and takeovers. And once this is accomplished, they will collude amongst each other to set the price for services. This formula has already worked great with oil, gold, the housing bubble, food, pork bellies, wheat, cars, soda, everything. But how are they going to do that? I thought Obamacare regulated everything. And this is why I love real leftists like Kate Randall at the Worldwide Socialist website. In her article, she is nice enough to point out that in spite of all of these new regulations, lots of other shit are about to go down, such as in the insurance miracle known as California. Regulators cannot deny rate increases, but can only make a review of the application to see if it has any technical errors. Subsequently, Aetna is proposing to raise premium costs in the individual market by as much as 22%. Anthem Blue Cross is requesting a 26% rate hike, as well as Blue Shield of California is asking for a 20% increase. In Florida and Ohio, insurers have sought to be authorized to raise the rates by at least 20% for some policyholders. Such rate hikes can amount to hundreds of dollars in increased costs. And in New York, they're allowed to raise it as much as 10% a year without any fucking question. And that's the thing. Our capitalist friends didn't say. Just because Calvert, California is cheaper than expected doesn't mean it's fucking cheap. In the article, it says for working people, the plans are not inexpensive to begin with.
Insurance companies will charge 25-year-olds up to $190 a month for a bare-bones plan in Los Angeles. $190 for a kid who's barely making $200 a fucking week isn't exactly the greatest fucking deal at all, is it? Plus, if you look at 40-year-olds paying $525 a month under a similar plan, and they decide to get sick and max out, they have to pay another $4,000 on top of it. And they're barely making $40,000 a year. Guess where the corner's getting cut, kids? On you. So now, what do you think now? What a great fucking progressive socialist system Obamacare is, right? Let's just keep feeding these filthy, disgusting, murderous companies and hope that the fucking healthcare comes trickling down. Does this all sound familiar, guys? As usual, most people may be covered. But if they can't afford the co-pays, the medicine, and the other services, this insurance is fucking lip service. And in actuality, further exacerbates the class struggle between the rich and the workers by creating different fucking classes of coverage instead of just creating blanket fucking coverage. This insurance in name only, guys, and since it does little to nothing to stop bankruptcies, curb drug prices, this law does nothing but preserve the status fucking quo and then give them millions of new customers on top of it. This is why I feel, in order to provide coverage, curb costs, and as well as provide the best treatment and cures we can, we have to democratize the process. We have to democratize the fucking process, just like one man, one vote. Just like one woman, one vote. Everybody should have the equal access to the supposed best health care in the world. We need socialized medicine now. We need socialized medicine now, now, now. Before everybody gets thrown into the class bullshit and everybody will be covered but can't afford the fucking pay. 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888 is our number at the wonderful PRN.FM. What do you all think about the wonderful capitalist fucking healthcare now? What do you think?
I'm looking at that number you brought up a little while ago. The lowest plan, I guess, was like $190 a month, right?
Yeah, the bronze plan in California. Really,
okay, so if we look at that, just to show you how much you're actually getting raped. I'm doing a little math here. That's $2,280 a year, basically, right?
Yep. And only 60% of your medical bills are covered.
Right. And how often, okay, is it necessary for a 20-year-old to pay $2,280 a year? You know what I mean? And then, you know, the argument against it, which I've heard a million times, like, oh, yeah, but you need it. You need it. What if something bad happens? What if it's an accident? Well, why do we live in fear? Why are we expecting ourselves to have this horrible accident that we needed to be covered? You know what I mean? There's no possible way the insurance company's not winning in the end. It's like the movie Casino.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? They always win in the end. Otherwise, it wouldn't be the business, and it wouldn't be, what, the second, third industry, largest industry in the United States?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Right, so behind fucking weapons and probably fucking booze and cigarettes.
So let's not pretend there's any ethical reason for you know, healthcare in this type of way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the thing that really gets on my nerves is that what nobody wants to talk about is what they're trying to do is offer this coverage so low privately that eventually they want to run Medicare and Medicaid out of fucking business, which is another thing nobody wants to fucking talk about, because the only thing this is doing is competing with Medicare and Medicaid. Obama has using these things called the chain CPI. And let me explain that to you real quick, because you're looking at me all funny. What it does is it attaches the premiums of healthcare and all the affordability of it to something called the Consumer Price Index. So in other words, what they want to do is raise the benefit level to the Consumer Price Index. The problem is that when you're shopping for something, say fucking beef is like fucking $8 a pound. You're going to buy chicken, right? You'll buy pork. You'll buy something cheaper to substitute for it.
In healthcare, you can't fucking substitute. If you need dialysis, you can't get fucking dime store dialysis anywhere. You can't go home and hook it up yourself and do it yourself. Like, you have to have a doctor do it.
Unless you go to China.
Exactly. But even then, you still have to get the procedure. You can't substitute it for something else. You can't substitute the drugs and the doctors and the treatments that you need, especially if you have cancer. You can't substitute chemotherapy for fucking gasoline or for fucking kerosene. But that's what they're assuming you can do. So if you go and chain it to the CPI like that, what you're doing is that since healthcare costs are going higher than the CPI, what you're doing is you're making these people pay more out of pocket, and they have no money to pay it because you're reducing their benefits and they can't substitute. So it's fucking insane. It's completely insane. And then by them slowly whittling away at Social Security and Medicare, they're forcing you to buy this private insurance from the same fucking people that fucked up the healthcare program in the first place. You know? So you're in a catch-22 situation. What the fuck can you do in this situation? Like, I know you have insurance through your
work. No, I haven't had health insurance in like 15 years.
I know how you feel, dude.
And you know how much money I've saved in that time not having health insurance? Probably about somewhere in between $15,000 and $20,000. But, I mean, you know, so if you look at it...
But aren't you afraid that, like, if something really bad happened, like, you know, like, they would throw you in debt, like, so fucking fast, it's retarded.
But this is... Right. But this is the thing. I can't afford it.
Yeah.
I can't afford it. So what the hell am I going to do? This is... My health care is exercise, organic food. And since I've been eating organic and getting regular exercise, I haven't seen a doctor, all right? And that was, like, 4 years ago when I started doing that shit. You know, look, yeah, something big can happen, but again, your mentality at that point is you're living with the expectation that this tiny percentage of a horrible thing might happen. While it is possible, it's that sort of fear that justifies these kind of high premiums, I think, sometimes. And I mean, hey, I can be alert. I can take care of myself. I have to be alert while I'm driving. If I'm in the wild, in bear country, I should bring a rifle with me, and that's how I can protect myself, you know?
But here's the thing that's funny, though, okay? Do you know...
I mean, I've been to clinics. Like, if I get sick, I'll go to, like, a clinic or something, you know?
But do you know that you're going to be penalized for not getting insurance?
Yeah, I know. I mean, but what do you want me to... I mean, what... I don't even know. Like, what would my premium be right now?
You see, that's a good one. And while hopefully somebody looks that up, Heather, can you do me a favor? Can you look up what the penalty is under Obamacare if you don't pay the mandate? If you're not busy. I mean, you're always busy. She's awesome. By the way, Heather is like probably the best engineer ever. Like, she came in here, mic'd up Dan perfectly, made sure all our levels were fucking good. You know, like, she's a real asset to this organization, ladies and gentlemen. She actually knows what the fuck she's doing. So
and she does parkour too. That's one thing a lot of people don't know about Heather.
Really?
Yeah, she can do fucking, like, 3 backflips off a freaking 20-foot platform.
Dude, you know, and we didn't want to bring this up, Heather, about your gymnastic past, but yeah, Heather was a fucking awesome AAU gymnast. I mean, just
gymnast.
Look. Gymnast. That's right.
The gymnast is much more prestigious.
If you look at the Northeast 2002 championships, you'll get to see Heather in a leotard, and she'll be really happy that you did, too. That's really good stuff. But back to the whole insurance mandate thing, while we're looking up the number, the thing that's funny is that you have to pay an individual mandate next year if you don't fucking get your health insurance. But you know who doesn't? Let's go to McClatchy. Obama administration delays health care employer mandate for the year. Wah, I wonder why you did that. The Obama administration is postponing for a year a requirement that businesses cover their employees under the administration's health care law. Yay. The decision to postpone the mandate till 2015 comes amid employer unease with the program. A post on the Treasury Department website says that the move is designed to give the administration ways to simplify the reporting requirements and provide time to adapt health coverage and reporting systems. Isn't that nice? So, again, Obama's big business friends, again, don't have to pay for fucking shit, but fucking Dan, who has to work 12 fucking hours a day, has to fucking pay out of his fucking pocket next year. It doesn't matter if Dan's uneasy about the plan. It doesn't matter if I'm uneasy about the plan. It doesn't matter even if Heather, our award-winning gymnast, is not afraid of the fucking plan. The thing is that we have to fucking pay, and they don't. Again. Again, business gets to fuck us, and we get fucked. We get to pour our money from our employers that won't cover us into an insurance pool full of people that fucked up health insurance in the first fucking place. 888-874-4888 is our number. Grobeck, you're on the air with us. Hit me.
Yeah, you guys are young yet, and I would tell Dan, insurance is important. My question to Dan would be, Dan, what happened if you woke up tomorrow and you just felt really shitty? I'm not talking about going to a clinic either. And then you found out in a week or two that you had some sort of cancer.
Right.
You know, what would you do?
Well, I guess what I would do is I would go work for Walmart, and instead of working 12-hour days, I would work 18-hour days to pay for something. I would take pills. I would stop eating organic and things like that. I mean, honestly, you know, pharmaceuticals is not the only way to cure cancer.
No, but I tell you what, if you go work for Walmart, you will die. And they will put out, what Walmart does, and people, a lot of people don't realize this, Walmart will take out insurance on you. And when you die, they'll collect.
Yep. Yep.
See, how fucked up that is.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm
look, man, I'm with you 100%, buddy. I really am.
It's
I'm
not that, honestly.
Socialism.
Hold on a second, Grobeck. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't want it. That's the thing. Is like, I kind of feel like I should have some kind of insurance, you know? Yeah, I have this conviction. I mean, I don't like the idea of living in fear because and expecting that sort of thing to happen. I think we've been kind of trained and conditioned to do that a little bit.
But the truth
is, dude, I can barely pay my fucking rent.
Yeah, I hear you.
So, you know, I'm more concerned with shelter at this point.
And I'd say the majority of the people in this country, probably 3 or 4 out of 5, are in the same boat you're in.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is this, and you guys know this. I'm not telling you any fucking thing you don't know. The bottom line is the healthcare industry and the hospitals and all this is the industry that throws a ton of fucking money towards senators' campaigns, House of Representatives campaigns, presidential campaigns, and the payoff. Look, this is a fucking unique country we got here, man. This is a country that you go and you get out there and you ask people, what's the best country in the world? These fucking lemmings will stand up and tell you, United States is the best country in the world. We are far from the best country in the world.
Well, the thing is,
that's so true.
I mean, it is true. But the other thing about it is the fact that, like, every country thinks they're the best fucking country in the world. You know what I mean? Like, for all its faults and whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, I work with guys from Peru. They'll tell me Peru's the best fucking country all day. I tell people how great America is, how great Russia is, how great Italy is.
Yeah, but America, I mean, it has this reputation, you know, the American dream and all this other nonsense. And I think Americans might be a bit more ethnocentric, but I could be wrong. Maybe not. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you're right. I mean, this whole American dream bullshit was invented in the 30s when they gave that fucking mortgage deduction on the taxes. And the reason why they did that.
You got to be asleep.
Well, of course you do. But the thing is, in the 30s with the mortgage thing, bro, the reason why they gave the mortgage break in the first place is that the fucking capitalists found out one very valuable thing. Debt-encumbered homeowners don't go and protest.
Right.
So that's how they do it.
I tell you how fucked up this country is, and I'm kind of living this, even though my brother is now some 450 miles away. He's a Vietnam veteran, and he's dying of Agent Orange. He's not going to die anytime soon, but it's going to get him eventually. His country gave that gift to him. That was a gift from the United States of America to him in Vietnam. And I'll tell you the one thing about Jimmy that I appreciate. I love my brother. When somebody will walk up to him and say, thank you for your service, he'll tell them, don't bother with that shit. I survived fucking Vietnam.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, he didn't serve for the flag. He didn't serve for ice cream and apple pie. Fuck all of that. He knows in his heart, and I know in my heart, he got fucked over by his own government. Not only back in the early 70s when he went, he's still getting fucked over today by the VA.
Absolutely.
Today, it's happening to a lot of Jimmies. There's a lot of Jimmies out there, you know? And that, I don't care what anybody tells me, that says volumes about your country, how you treat your veterans, how you treat your babies, how you treat young kids, old people. We shit on people in this country, and we do it on a daily motherfucking
Yes, we do it on a fucking base, a daily fucking basis. And it's almost like, and this is where I fucking have to say with Alex Jones, he's right about this. This is eugenicist shit. This whole limiting of the population. We're overcrowded. We're overpopulated. We're over this. We're over that. Have you ever been to fucking Kansas? There's nobody fucking there. It's very livable there. You can live there. It's not a fucking desert. They grow fucking corn there. You know, they grow shit there. You can live there. Okay, there's plenty of places to fucking live. This country's huge. We probably fit the whole world population in here on a half an acre each. That's really not that bad of a fucking deal. But they're saying overcrowded, overcrowded. And then they're talking, and then there's the fake environmentalism, which I fucking despise. Oh, don't cut down the rainforest. Don't do this, don't do that. You don't want those people in South America to have economies, do you? Unless it's by your fucking thumb. You don't want to have these people have an own independent life. The United States has to have an own independent life. So we had come at them from many fronts to oppress these poor fucking people in South America by telling them, oh, you're going to destroy the lungs of the world. Well, if you look at the air currents and the water currents, guess where they stop? At the fucking equator, motherfucker. Why don't you conserve your forests up here, motherfucker, instead of destroying everything for oil shale and all this shit?
Exactly.
Because it's for economic development. Just like with this healthcare thing. You know? Well, you're covered. Just because you can't pay that other 40%, well, fuck you. At least you're covered. At least we can have a doctor tell you when you're going to die. Isn't that great? They can just tell you when you're going to die. Just like with my mom. Yeah, she's covered. But she doesn't have the $25,000 for the experimental medicine. So they have to go back and fucking recycle all the shit that almost killed her before. No, they don't want to tell you that. Oh, I got a check back from my insurance company. And then in 10 years, they're going to raise the rates 20 times that check that they just gave you back. You stupid motherfucker. Your introductory rates. They did it with the mortgage thing less than 10 years ago. Don't you see? It's the same fucking thing. Cheap.
Somebody said healthcare in this country in the future is going to be exactly what you have with Walmart. Walmart comes into a big town, sets up, closes up the mom-and-pop businesses with low prices, and as soon as they close everybody else up, the prices go up. And that's exactly what the I think what the healthcare companies are going to do.
Of course,
they'll lower the prices at first. They'll lower them a bit. But then once this Obamacare or Affordable Care Act, whatever the fuck it is, goes in effect, they're gonna give a present to their boys, because look, man, I mean, the bottom line is this nowadays. How much money do you donate to the politicians? If you donate a lot to the politicians, you can own, ask the Koch brothers. You can own these motherfuckers, man. And we keep electing the same old tired ones too. And they're owned. They're owned by big corporations, by healthcare corporations, by the pill poppers, the pill corporations. They're owned because these guys have the money to buy their influence. Hell, Jimmy Carter said it this week. Our democracy is in trouble. And I agree with him. I agree with him 100%. But I'm with you. I'm ready for socialism. I don't care how scared people are of it at all. I'm not.
And
bring
that's
it fucking on. There's got to be something better than this.
Yes.
For the people, for the real people of this country, the middle class to the lower class. There's got to be something better than this trickle-down fucking bullshit.
It's a thank you for being an American. Thank you for being my brother. We care about you. We want you to continue to do what you're doing. We don't care if you sweep the street or if you mow lawns or if you're a CEO. We all love you equally because we're brothers and sisters. That's what that would say. That's the divisive, horrible thing socialized medicine would say, is that we love all of you equally.
And you know something, that when I was a young guy in my teens, maybe 13, 14, you didn't see the CEOs making the fucking money they're making today. They made more money than the guy working on the floor. I will grant you that. But it wasn't 100 times what they make on the floor. These guys today, the CEO of Oracle is making, and I believe this, $43,000 a minute.
And again, they have to put a class on everything. Like, Dan, you love your organic food, but you're paying out the ass for that shit. You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's funny because in some ways, and as the organic food gets a little more popular in the city, there becomes more competition, so it drives the prices down. But if you go like 20 miles north of the city, forget about it. It's almost worse there, you know, like in Westchester.
Yeah, especially in Orange too, by me.
Yeah, and even up there, like even closer to the farms, it's a little more expensive. I mean, look, companies definitely jack up the prices on organic food. I mean, if you look at an organic green pepper and an organic red pepper, the organic red pepper is like $3 more per pound than the green pepper, but they don't cost, you know, red ones don't cost much more to grow.
But are you sure you're getting, like, this is my question about organic food. Now, I'll eat it when Becky buys it. But are you sure it's organic? I mean, somebody can bullshit
you.
Oh, it's organic. Look, organic banana, eat it. It'll make you healthy.
Right,
are you sure?
I know. That's the argument. But, I mean, look, you got to talk to farmers. You got to be able to look for certain signs. Like, for example, if you pick up a pepper and it's really fucking waxy, don't eat that shit. You know what I mean? And, like, if the skin's all freaking weird. And there's certain things. Like, you get to know certain farms. You can find ways, man. Grow your own and things like that. There's ways that you can get closer. Sometimes it's hard to find. But, look, you know, I mean, that's where I spend a little more money. We, honestly, like, we don't spend that much more on organic food. We thought about it before. We spend about $20 more, $20 to $40 more a week on organic food and high-quality meat.
But here's my fucking problem with the whole thing. My whole fucking problem is that why isn't all food organic? Why isn't all of it fucking organic, then? If it's so fucking good for you, it should all be organic. We should all be looking out for our fucking selves instead of saying, oh, it's okay to have third-class food next to first-class food. Okay?
Just put this right back to the Monsanto.
Food, goddammit! Motherfucking food! Motherfucking healthcare!
Why is Monsanto still able to genetically modify food in this country when all around the world they're being kicked in the fucking teeth by all kinds of countries? This country will not kick Monsanto in the teeth, and it comes back to campaign finance. Comes back to Citizens United.
It comes back to us voting.
That money, and if they throw around that money, they own a lot of bitches.
Well, no, it's because we still vote for these stupid motherfucking parties that don't represent our interests.
Sure.
We still sit there during the election and say, well, Obama's better than Ren Romney. No, he's not. If we had Romney right now, everybody would be united against him instead of making excuses for this lying cocksucker who's in the fucking office now. That's why. Because we would have a very clear fucking focus on who's fucking us. You got people.
Well, this is your two-party system, man.
But you got people that are good-hearted, liberal people that are sitting there every fucking day throwing their values out the window because they see a D in front of this guy's name and because he's black. Okay? It's bullshit. He's an asshole. That's what he is. It doesn't matter if he's black, yellow, green, whatever the fuck. Look at what he did. Judge a man by his deeds, goddammit, not by his words. His words are beautiful. They're like feathery pillows coming out of some girl's twat, okay? But it's all bullshit. I know that didn't make any sense.
Feathery pills coming out. That sounds like a flashback right there, dude.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a fucking flashback.
I want to date the girls you're dating.
Was that ecstasy flying out there?
If you've never been with a girl that squirts, it's the most amazing thing in the world, and I'll tell you why. Because you know you're doing everything right. There's no, you don't have to wonder if you're giving her an orgasm. You know. Trust me, you fucking know you're giving her an orgasm. You know you're doing a good job. And it's actually really awesome. Like, it's the most erotic thing, like, I think I've ever experienced in my life. Because that part is, to me, it's just like, it was validation. It's just ultimate, wonderful, amazing validation.
That's why I love this fucking show. We can go in 1 second from talking hardcore politics to squirting women. I'm not knocking it, man. I think that is awesome. I think everybody should get their kids around the computer and let Uncle Batman go.
All right.
Turn him loose.
You think so? Okay, so guess what time it is?
Where else can you go and get serious conversation about how much we're being fucked by both parties, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here we come, Left turn, right turn, whatever you want. Up,
well,
down,
watch. Well, watch this.
Flirting women.
Well, watch this.
You gotta love it, man.
Well, watch this, ladies and gentlemen. Now it's time for listener emails. Yeah. Bear Man, last week I couldn't believe Paul Lee said mixing iced tea and Skittles would get you high if you mix it with Robitussin. Well, guess what, shit for brains? It's the fucking Robitussin that gets you high. The Skittles and iced tea are only suggested to flavor it, you fucking douchebag. Trayvon Martin didn't even have cough syrup on him, you hillbilly asshole. I hope a black guy burns down your house with your mother in it. Signed, Dave Sims of Pompano Beach, Florida. Wow, that's pretty fucking crazy. And our next email goes as such. Bear Man, dude, do you know that Groback is on a 10-show nigger streak right now? Listen, I'm not saying he's racist or anything, but now he's said it 10 shows in a row, and it's getting fucking annoying. He's such a fucking cracker. Signed, Jamal Washington of the Bronx, New York. And by the way, I'm white, you stereotyping dickhead. Groback, what do you say? Groback?
Send Jerome.
Jamal.
Jamal, you be my nigga, bro.
Oh, shit. And our last email goes as such. Bear Man, and I changed the name to keep that person safe. Bear Man, dude, I love you, man, so don't take this the wrong way, but for the last 2 weeks, it seems like Groback and Paul Lee have taken over the show. At first, you set the table and bring a topic, and then Groback and Paul Lee pay, like, 30 seconds of lip service, and then they start their old man bullshit. No offense, I like the guys, but if you're talking about healthcare, and then Paul Lee starts talking about Skittle and iced tea, and fucking Groback starts yelling some incoherent shit, it ruins the show for me. Take control back. Signed, Steve the Fireman Gerard of Liverpool, Pennsylvania. Well, Steve Gerard, I admit last week I let things get a little out of fucking control with the boys, but you know what? I did not know what the fuck I was doing with all my sound equipment and shit. And believe me, okay, when I do fucking 2 fucking weeks worth of research on a fucking topic, I'm not gonna let them fucking ruin it for you again. So, if you have any listener emails, you can contact us at the Bear Man Radio Show. And that's the Bear Man Radio Show at Gmail, or you can go to bearmanradio.com, hit the email button, and baboo, there you fucking go. So that, my dear friends, is listener emails. Dun, 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 dun. Yes. I always nail that. Why? Because I'm fucking awesome. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. That was actually an actual complaint that I got from like 10 people last week, actually, which was really, you know, it made me think because last week, guys, I never, ever, ever pressed the show at the website. I always tell people to go to iTunes because the iTunes chart is where it's at, supposedly. I'm changing that strategy too because I think it sucks. But, you know, I advertised 2 weeks ago's show, not on the website, and we got 286 downloads in 2 days. I don't know what the final is. The final's pretty good. Guess how many we got last week? Because we did exactly, it was the same show last week, exactly the same show as the week before. We got 38. That is unacceptable. 38 downloads is unacceptable. Why? Why is it unacceptable? Because not only is Groback more talented than Bill Press is, I am also more talented than Bill Press is. I deserve to have a shot at an everyday show. I deserve it. Why do I deserve it? Because I work fucking hard. I don't deserve it because I'm some pompous asshole like you might be thinking right now that fucking sits around and he's all big mouth and, oh, I could tell people off, so he's got to be good at doing something, right? No. I work. I work my ass off. I fucking read more than I fucking have ever read in my life. And I do it because I care about this product. I care about this product because I don't believe that there's a product out there that fucking is fucking honest enough to do what we do. Okay? I'm going to be honest about that. I think that we've created something very special here. And I will not do anything to fucking sacrifice that. Nothing. Okay? Nothing. There will never be a show like last week again. I promise that. Because I don't like to fucking sit there and have no control over what's going on. And I did it myself. It's my fault. I fucked it up. Nobody else fucked it up but me. And that fuck up will never, ever happen again. And it's not a diss against Groback, but it is a diss against Paul Lee. Because that fucking Skittles thing was fucking dumb as shit. Like, I'm sitting at work, and this is the thing. This is what I like to do, and I'm going to let you guys in on my life a little bit. When I'm at work on Monday, I don't want to fucking be there. So I time it out. I get to, like, 8 o'clock in the morning from, like, 3:30. And then I know I'm in the home stretch till 10. So I put on the show for 2 hours just to kill some time, you know, and see what I'm doing wrong and everything else. I couldn't make it through fucking 45 minutes of last week's show. I couldn't do it. I couldn't fucking do it. You know, oh, the internet's going to save us and da-da-da, and we should just get together. What does forming little parties do? You know what it does? You know what people forming little parties do, even when they don't agree with each other, ladies and gentlemen? What that does is it forces people to cooperate with each other on a small scale. And eventually it grows into a bigger and bigger and bigger scale. If you look at the way things are evolving, and when we come back from break, we're going to talk about what happened with the Amash Amendment. We're going to talk about how there's a new dividing line between national security assholes and people that actually care about your freedom. There is now a huge movement of libertarians and liberals getting together. This is what we need. Because liberals and libertarians are for the fucking people, and the rest of the Democrats and the Republicans are for the fucking corporations. We need more of this, and we're going to get to that in the second hour. Also, we will be having a wonderful 5 minutes from Frank, because Frank's the fucking shit. We'll have Grobeck back, because we're going to be talking about mushrooms, and I know he knows a little something about that as well. And then we're going to hear a lovely song, I believe, by Public Enemy this week, which is called Shut 'Em Down. And if it's not that one, it's something else. Because Public Enemy's dope. It doesn't matter what the fuck it is. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a little breaky-poo. We'll be back in about 10 minutes. And we're going to kick somebody's ass. Peace.
All right, it's a time. Time for the Frank Factor in 5, or Frank in 5. Now, I hope you'll indulge me for a minute here. What I want to do is, this shit is about politics, right? I mean, that's why you're listening to what you're listening to. So I want to wipe the chalkboard clean and sort of start over again here and work our way forward with an eye toward, and this is going to be a little different, what we might do to make things better. And I don't have all the answers, and I'm not a professional at this, but I think, you know, if we talk about it, we can maybe come together and flesh some things out. So here's the thing. What I think we need to do, and I think we can all pretty much agree on pretty much all of this, is assess the situation. Situational awareness. What the fuck is going on here? Okay? What's this? Where are we? What kind of a fucking political milieu are we being steeped in here? And I think we can all agree on this much. What has been happening and is beginning to get even deeper and further along in its insidious ways is the alienation, the disenfranchisement, and the polarization of the American people versus the American people's government, okay? Starting from the government, because that's what this is about. This is the problem. This is supposed to be public governance, and it is a fucking joke, because that has, the approval ratings of this Congress and this president and everything else is always shit, and it's been shit for decades. And just because nobody talks about it, because people who make money living that way and who are invested in the actual failure of this government, just because they do that doesn't mean it's right. And we all kind of go to sleep on this because it's just like we just accept it, but we shouldn't. We got to stop accepting this. I think a nice measurement as we move forward. Provided that the poll taking is somewhat accurate, would be to do better than single digits and, better. Let's say, how about better than 50 cent for Congress? Can you imagine that? And we're talking about Congress here. We're talking about a Congress that can't seem to break double digits, let alone even hit the teens or the tens. Okay? That's a big problem. And the disconnect is the reason for that, as far as I'm concerned. This ties back into the alienation, the disenfranchisement, and the polarization of the American people. We are separated from the government, and there is the oligarchy, if you want to call it that, is heavily invested in making sure that this is the state of affairs and it stays this way. And if we're going to do anything about this, that is where we have to nip this fucker in the bud. And what I'm trying to say is that, and you know, I'm a proponent of not voting for anyone within the duopoly. And I've always said that that wasn't the be-all and the end-all, and I hope people get that much. But along with something like that, I've been trying to do some research, and maybe many of you have already seen this, but we're going to talk about this in the future. And if you listen to the Frank Factor, the regular podcast, the half hour, we're going to go through these things as we move forward. There are books, there are people that have looked at this. It's not wildly popular, and you've probably never heard of them, but there are a number of referenda and things that we can do along with civil disobedience to try and what we have to do is get some hand. You know, I've talked about this before. They have no reason to fear us. We have no power. What we have to do is get on top and stop being the submissive here. And it's not going to be a single effort. It's going to take a lot of different things. It has to be a strategically arranged kind of a deal. Not like, you know, not fucking obsessive compulsive, but we got to have some kind of a way forward here. We got to have a plan. This is my feeling anyway. This bullshit about running out in the streets and getting shot with rubber bullets and tear gas is all really sexy and all that bullshit, but it isn't going to do it.
I testified, my mama cried, black people. it down. Hold it. Come on. Oh, wait a minute now.
Howdy, y'all. This is Bernie Crosshouse, yours truly of the KKK. I like to express our deepest gratitude at the destruction of the inferior nigger race, and I'm especially pleased to report it's destroying itself without our help. To all you gangs, hoodlums, drug pushers and users, and other worthless niggas killing each other, we'd like to thank y'all for saving us the time, trouble, and legality for the final chapter of ridding y'all off the face of the earth. Your solution to our problem is greatly appreciated, so keep selling us your soul. Thank you.
Bear Man Radio Show coming at you hard, fast, and real on your Thursday night. Our number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. You are hearing us live and direct on PRN.FM, which is the Progressive Radio Network moving forward. That's right. You are also listening to us on the mighty InYourFaceRadio.net, where I will be doing two additional shows in 2 weeks entitled The Bear Man Group as well as Bear Man Sports. Also, you are listening to us on the wonderful BadTomato.FM. Tom and Susie over in Virginia are the shit. I do encourage you to go to their station and check them out. They're on the fucking rise, son. And welcome back, guys. If you want to fuck with us, fuck with Dan, fuck with me, all our Twitter, Facebook, and all that other ha-ha is at BearManRadio.com. BearManRadio.com, your one-stop shop for everything that's free that we offer you. Oh, yeah, welcome back. Again, our number is 888-874-4888. And if any of you are confused by what happened after the Public Enemy song, that is actually an addition to the Public Enemy song that's actually on the Public Enemy album. So if you have any fucking, if Paul Lee just had an orgasm because he heard some KKK guy going, that's actually a little parody that they did after the song. So fuck you and eat my dick. And for all white supremacists out there, you can all suck my fucking balls. I hate fucking racists. I despise them. I don't fucking like you, and I hope you all get stuffed in a fucking ditch. That's right. Ditch. Because there's no room for racism. There's none. Okay, there's absolutely no reason in this fucking world why anybody should judge anybody by anything more than their deeds and their actions, and that's it. There's no other reason to judge anybody for any other reason. 888-874-4888. Yes. So guys, let's talk about something a little bit lighter now. And this is a great, great article by Maria Salovitz, who I have no idea where I stole this from, but Maria Salovitz is the author of this wonderful article. So let's shroom, guys. The psychedelic drug and magic mushrooms may have lasting medical and spiritual benefits, according to a new research from Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. That's right. The mushroom-derived hallucinogen called psilocybin, or whatever the fuck it's called, is known to trigger transformative spiritual states. But at high doses, it can also result in bad trips. Wah, wah. The trick is to get the dose just right, which the Johns Hopkins researchers report has said has been accomplished in Yakety Yak. In their study, the Hopkins scientists were able to reliably induce transcendental experiences in volunteers, which offered long-lasting psychological growth and helped people find peace in their lives without any negative effects. The important point here is that we found the sweet spot where we can optimize the positive persistent effects and avoid some of the fear and anxiety that can occur and be quite disruptive, said lead author Roland Griffiths, professor of behavioral psychology at Johns Hopkins. Griffiths studied 18 healthy adults aged 46 who participated in 5 8-hour-long drug sessions with either psilocybin at various doses or a placebo. 14 months after participating in the study, 94% of those who received the drug said the experiment was one of the top 5 most meaningful experiences of their lives. 39% said it was the single most meaningful experience of their lives. Critically, however, the participants themselves were not the only ones who saw benefit from the insights that they gained. Their friends, their family members, and colleagues also reported that the psilocybin experience had made the participants calmer, happier, and kinder. Ultimately, Griffiths and his colleagues want to see the same type of psychedelic experience could help ease anxiety and fear over long-term cancer patients and others facing death.
Researchers also studying whether transcendental experiences could help spur recovery from addiction to treat other psychological problems like depression and post-traumatic stress disorder. Each participant was accompanied by two research team members, a monitor and an assistant monitor. How can you fuck with this? I gotta tell you something. Myself, my experiences on LSD and mushrooms were absolutely some of the greatest experiences I've ever had in my life. I was a very narrow-minded person when I was a kid. I thought I knew everything. You know what I mean? And some of you might still think I do. But, you know, I didn't. It humbles you, but it humbles you in such a great way because it makes you feel like you're part of something bigger than you already are. You know? Like, Dan, how many times have we tripped on mushrooms, dude?
I mean, I don't know, 5 to 10. I did more mescaline than anything back in the day.
Yeah, I liked paper, too. I was a big fan of acid.
We used to get these tiny freaking micro dots for, like, $2 or $3. You take these, and you're tripping for, like, freaking 20 hours. Those things were insane. So, you know, the whole healing property thing is, I'm a little mixed on it. Because, I mean, I know Tim Leary did a lot of experiments with the healing properties of LSD and things like that. He worked with church groups. He worked with inmates, prison inmates. One of the funny stories from his autobiography was when he went into a prison cell with a murderer. And he gave him acid, and he took acid with this guy, and he sat there with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were both sitting there, kind of, so the acid hits him, and they're just staring at each other for, like, 2 hours. And Tim Leary's like, I was scared shitless. I thought this guy was going to kill me. And finally, I told this guy, I'm scared shitless of you. And the murderer told him back, he said, I'm scared shitless of you, too. That's why I haven't said shit for the last 2 hours. But, I mean, I don't know really what that proves, but I've had some really interesting experience. I mean, it opens your mind. You're definitely never the same after you take it. But at the same time, I've had some freaking really negative experience. There was one time I was jumping on this huge freaking trampoline, dude.
Mm-hmm.
That shit threw me into a fucking world of hurt.
Trampoline threw you into a world of hurt?
Dude, I started jumping on it, and it was just like, you know those big trampolines
some people have
in their backyard? This guy had a fucking big trampoline. The whole freaking neighborhood would go to this guy's house the afternoon. He didn't care. He would just be, all right, go ahead. There'd be like 30 people going crazy on this freaking trampoline.
Pedophile.
Doing the same kind of shit that Heather can do. You know, backflips and shit, like triple Lindy.
Yeah, totally. Like fucking cartwheel into fucking some sort of cool split.
But like at that particular day, I could not handle the amount of people that were there. And this white hot light started just screaming in my mind. And it was like going up and down like a roller coaster. And suddenly I realized, there are fates worse than death, and I'm about to suffer that fucking fate. I didn't even know what the hell it was, right?
Are you fucking kidding?
So this white fucking light is screaming, and it's going to this, like, climax, something like out of a Stravinsky song or something. Stravinsky piece, maybe I should say.
There you go.
And then all of a sudden, it just popped. It popped, and I came back to lucidity. But let me tell you something, dude. After that experience, as I was walking home that night, no joke, I thought my ears were falling the fuck off, dude. It was like one of those kind of cold nights going into winter, but the day was warm. I was freezing, dude. I was walking down the street with my hands over my ears like a fucking schizophrenic, which probably I was, actually. I was definitely actually was schizophrenic. So after that occasion, I actually got sick for a month, dude. And you know how I got sick? Because I convinced myself I was fucking sick. I totally did. I thought my ears were falling. I guess you can't convince yourself to make your ears fall off through placebo, but you can convince yourself to get an infection or something. I got sinusitis, bronchitis, and fucking strep throat for a month
after
that, dude.
But do you think that that's because you took too much at the time?
I mean, you know, we were getting really high quality shit, but yeah, I mean, definitely, it was too much. I tripped out for fucking 24 hours, and even after that, I was still seeing traces for fucking, like, a week, dude.
Yeah, dude.
I was freaking the fuck out.
You see, I had a very similar experience. I went to the Grateful Dead concert, actually, with your ex-girlfriend, Lalan, and her brother, Adam, which, this kid was the most annoying motherfucker of all time. So, I get there, and we're partying in the parking lot and shit. So, I took 2 hits when I got there. Now, of course, I started power drinking, like, power drinking. So, I was, like, instantaneously simultaneously drunk in a half hour. So 45 minutes goes by, and I'm like, wow, I'm not tripping yet, you know, and I don't realize that I've maybe only took the acid 25 minutes ago. So I took two more. So I'm on four hits of White Jesus acid at a Grateful Dead show. Now, everything's
two
great.
More. Why two more? He couldn't just
the fucking,
take one
I was
more.
An idiot, dude, because, like, I didn't think it was strong. You know, I'm like, I took two hits of acid. I'm not doing shit. I'm like, maybe I should just take two fucking more. So it got to a point where I'm in the stadium, and all of a sudden, the whole stadium turned into an Aztec fucking pyramid, and all the hippies that were dancing around looked like Aztecs that were trying to fucking kill me. So I immediately got out of my seat, and I fucking ran. I ran the fuck out of there, okay? And the whole time before this happens, Phil Lesh, this asshole, and I love the Grateful Dead, but fuck you, Phil Lesh, you fucking asshole, because you triggered my bad trip, because before the Dead go on, there's a barrier at Giant Stadium, and if you jump over the barrier, you're gonna get fucking hurt. So he goes like this, it's like, don't jump over the barrier, because you can't dance the broken leg, 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 and I'm hearing that over and over again, and I'm like, shit, I can't dance the fucking broken leg, and then these Aztecs are trying to fucking kill me. I'm like, ah! I fucking ran the fuck out of there. I ran out around Giant Stadium for fucking 45 minutes. I had no clue what was real. Every single thing was morphing, melting. People's faces looked like aliens and shit. I had my head down and shit. Somebody asked me, because I was tripping so hard. Like, everybody could see it. So some guy came up to me. He's like, what's your name, dude? What's going on? I'm like, I don't fucking know what my name is.
You didn't
I
know your name,
I completely forgot what my name was.
Dude.
Completely. For a half hour. No clue. I'm just walking around like an entity and shit. Then some stupid asshole chick steals my hat, runs off with it. I catch her. Remember my hat, my hippie hat? I love that fucking thing. I wore it every single fucking day. Right? You were there?
Was I there, or was that a different
dude, if you were there, dude, then I was tripping balls. So, like, by the time it's all said and done, I catch the chick, get my hat back. She kisses me. Right? Because I didn't turn her in, or I didn't do anything crazy. I just wanted my hat back. I looked at her, I'm like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, here, you know? And then she gave me a kiss, and she left. And I'm just thinking to myself, holy shit, I'm Michael. I'm like, oh, my God. And then I remembered my name. And then everything started getting good, and by the end of the night, I was fine.
Dude, her kiss brought you to lucidity. Love will find a way.
Oh, my God. Do you know that? Do you know Love Song by Tesla?
Love will find a way. Oh man, that's a wow.
On its way back to you.
Is that it?
Yeah. Dun 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 dun. Yeah, I don't even know the words, so but anyway, 623, you're on the air with us. Hit me. 623?
I don't
know. Snowman.
Snow, what's going on, kid? How you doing?
I'm doing all right, brother. Dan, I don't have a poem for tonight.
That's all right, dude.
I gotta say, the psilocybin stuff, mushrooms rule, and I had my first experience was similar to what you described on your motorcycle, where I was first peaking when I was on a bike with a buddy. We had both started, like, sweating uncontrollably, and I were riding, and it seemed like our bikes were like, you know, jet rockets going through the, and the air sounded like thunder, and we were moving like 100 miles an hour. And
I mean, honestly, who doesn't want to feel like that?
Yeah.
And we were laughing our heads off. It didn't even feel like we were riding the bikes. It was bizarre.
It's like Star Wars, wasn't it? Like, you know, when the Millennium Falcon hit light speed? Like, to me, that's the way it felt like, except instead of the light bars flying everywhere, it was everything that went, you know.
Yeah. Well, the thing that was cool about when we did that for our first time, we kind of had a guide and we read the Timothy Leary, you know, book, and we had the whole thing about set and setting and dose, and we were very conscious about what we were doing and where we were at, and that's important so you don't have a bad trip.
Yeah.
I went to go see the Wall show in 77 with a friend.
Oh, man.
And we took acid that had this little eye in a triangle in it.
Oh,
and who knows if you remember that time.
Nice.
And we were up close, and that show was the first time where you got frisked to come in. And the band members, when they appeared on stage, they were wearing these masks of themselves all beat up. And it freaked my friend out. Like, during the halftime, he literally jumped out of his seat, kind of tried to walk into a wall. And then, and then when the show started again, he literally kind of jumped out again and then disappeared. And so we drove back to Phoenix without our buddy. And we had a Pink Floyd experience myself where I'm trying to find my friend. We go to the medical guy, and he looks like he's tripping more than someone on a freaking wall show we saw.
I wouldn't be. That's amazing, though. I mean, to be able to see the wall in freaking 1977, that's awesome.
With
dude.
Waters, too, man. Waters is the fucking shit. Groback,
that
must
have been a great show.
Groback, how was your first experience with mushrooms and or acid?
Oh, man. Well, acid, my first experience with acid was kind of like on Snowman. It was in Baton Rouge, Louisiana for a 1980 Pink Floyd concert. They were tripping with an Animals album. That's where the
right.
one they were pushing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it was in the Pete Maravich Assembly Center. A blue, purple micro dot. That's what it was. We all, six of us went up in a Volkswagen Bug. We all did purple micro dot. The trip home was almost as good as the concert. Not quite. But it was an amazing concert. I mean, fucked up with like nine eyes, okay? Eyes everywhere. And this big pink fucking pig comes over the top of the crowd.
Cool.
And I really, at the time, thought it was alive. It was alive. It had big red eyes. It was alive pig. I mean, a 50, 60, 70,000 pound pig.
Yeah,
I was tripping dick, man. I mean... It was the best ever. Now, as far as the mushrooms are concerned, probably 25 times, never had a bad trip.
Me
Always.
Too.
Most of the time, it was in our friend Doug's backyard. He turned his dad's shed after his dad passed away. We turned it into our place to go. We put music in it. We put egg crates on the wall. We put a black light in. We put all kind of we go pick up the mushrooms down by the cow pastures,
yeah.
come back, and he brew up his magic tea, and we'd sit there and drink it, and higher than fuck.
Yeah, dude, they just grow on the shit,
we
though.
Did go streaking in good old Gretna, five of us, but we didn't realize it was 4 a.m, so nobody gave a shit.
That's great. I'm, like, picturing that right now.
Oh,
nice.
My God, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, dude, next time you go streaking, fucking find an audience at least, dude.
You know, it's...
We wanted at least a cop to catch us because it would have been somebody we knew. I mean, Gretna's a small little town, but nobody saw us. We ran through the street screaming and hollering. Nobody gave a rat's ass. And if they'd have looked out and saw, you know, oh, some more naked kids running down the street, no big deal.
Yeah.
That's fucking great, dude. Speaking of Pink Floyd, because, like, you can never go to a Pink Floyd show without having any type of issues. Remember Ben? Fucking just ran off into the Bronx. Like, they went to go see fucking, they went to go see Pink Floyd at Yankee Stadium, right? And that was a fucking sick show. And you can see it on YouTube, actually, in HD for free if you ever want to check out the concert we went to. Our friend Ben was so fucked up on codeine that he wanted to go into the South Bronx and find cocaine, and he just basically left us. He fucking left us for hours. We couldn't find this motherfucker.
He went roaming into the Bronx, the white, tall, white, Paul Bunyan-looking motherfucker.
Yes.
Fucking searching for I guess he found it, though, didn't he?
Yeah, he did find it. He eventually made it to the fucking concert, too, fucking on codeine and cocaine. Like, oh, like, Meanwhile, this kid loved fucking Pink Floyd, and he wouldn't even fucking go see the first half of the show just because he needed to get the fucking coke to go with the codeine? Man, I don't understand that shit. That's a fucking lethally horrible combination.
That's like Basin, almost.
He should have just stuck to the acid and gone to the fucking show, man. That show was sick. Again,
it was pretty good, but Waters, that was all Gilmore, remember? So
yeah.
Waters wasn't there.
Dude, Gilmore is good, though, too, man.
Gilmore is good, but I just saw Roger Waters, actually, at Yankee Stadium, like, last year he did The Wall, and it was fucking, like, perfect.
Because he's awesome.
He had a different singer there singing, like, Gilmore's parts and things, but it was... You'd be hard-pressed to find a wrong note in that show, and you could see great, though. He really, Roger Waters did a great, the best thing he did, too, you know, when they do the song The Trial, they said, call the schoolmaster, who's like this evil character in The Wall.
Mm-hmm.
He says, call my ex-wife to the stand. He replaced the schoolmaster with his ex-wife, but he was railing against capitalism the whole show. He put up all these graphics the whole time. You know,
you see, those guys
mother
kept
should
it
I
real.
Trust, he had his one point where he said, mother, should I trust the government? And there was this huge, like, hell no that just came out like at you.
Okay.
But you got to give it up to Waters, man. He's willing to still make a political statement. He's not afraid to go there. You
well,
know?
Speaking
a lot
of making
are.
A political statement, and Snow and Gro, I want you both to hold on for this because I know you both will have opinions about this. Yesterday, guys, in Congress, we almost had some sort of legislative protection against the NSA spying on us. But unfortunately, ultimately that failed. And let's go to The Guardian UK. The first major legislative challenge to the National Security Agency's bulk collection of phone records from millions of Americans was defeated by only a narrow margin on Wednesday, sending a clear signal to the Obama administration that congressional anger about the extent of domestic surveillance is growing. Despite a concerted lobbying effort by the White House and senior intelligence officials, the attempt to rein in the NSA failed by only 12 votes. The final vote was 205 in favor, 217 against, exposing deep recidivism or division, which is a better word, in Congress over the wisdom and constitutionality of the bulk surveillance on Americans less than 2 months after The Guardian exposed it, thanks to Edward Snowden. The principal author of the effort, Michigan Republican Justin Amish, and I am again saying a Michigan Republican, John Amish, said he introduced his amendment to the annual Defense Department appropriation bill to defend the Fourth Amendment, to defend the privacy of each and every American. In opposition, there's the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Mike Rogers, Republican of Michigan, asked, "Have we forgotten what happened on September 11th? Swiping at Amish. "We are so small, we can only see how many Facebook likes we have," he said in jest. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. The tide is turning. Yesterday, when I saw the debate, and I watched the whole fucking debate, and if you want to talk about a fucking democracy, let's talk about it. Let's fucking talk about the travesty that is our fucking democracy. When they said, and our wonderful fucking rosy president said, "Oh, we're going to have a big debate on national security. Let's make the sun shine in every single way. And who can do it better than him? Obama man can. Obama man can." So this is what fucking happened. Michelle Bachmann is up there defending the same policies as Barack Obama. Disgusting, filthy Republicans like Mike Rogers are also sitting there defending their supposed enemy. Ladies and fucking gentlemen, how fucking stupid are you? It's driving me nuts to see Michelle Bachmann talk about how essential this is to our security and how many terrorist plots we foiled. But you couldn't foil a fucking stupid fucking kid and his doofy fucking brother, right? That's how good it was. It was so good, it prevented the fucking Boston bombing. Guys, yeah. You're the enemy. Not some Chechens. Not Edward Snowden. Not Bradley Manning, whose closing arguments were today, but nobody fucking talked about that either. You, ladies and gentlemen, are the enemy because you are the ones they're spying on. You don't spy on friends like corporations, oil companies, which are corporations, but fuck you.
Question.
Please.
Wasn't that why we were upset with the Soviet Union? Is because they were spying on their citizens?
Yes. Bravo.
Was that the deal about the whole Red Scare? Was that they didn't allow their citizens any freedom, that they were monitoring everything they did, you know, and we didn't say it made them any safer. Snowden talked about something called the Soron or something, like a project where they have these low-level satellites that are basically have the whole flipping world covered.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of freaked out when he saw it. Has anyone heard about this story?
I haven't, man, but if you've got info, do it, man. Let it out.
All I know is what I heard on Maria Heller's podcast a couple weeks ago, and I think she got this from Jack Blood. But basically, one of the things he pointed out was that there's this other satellite network called Soron, like, you know, the big evil eye of Mordor.
Yeah, exactly. That's
and they're
nice.
Just and it's totally monitoring everything. And he, when he saw this thing, he kind of freaked out. That was one of the tipping points for him to make him come out.
You see, and that isn't an NSA program. What that is something called the NRO, which is the National Reconnaissance Organization. If you think the NSA is secret, the NRO makes the NSA look stupid.
Do you guys really think they've only been spying on we the people since 9/11?
No. Think is that they've gotten a hell of a lot more efficient at it, and what they also did was they scammed their little lobbyists in there to make sure that they changed the laws to make it even easier for them to spy on us. I don't think this is a question of them not spying on us. I mean, Jesus Christ, J. Edgar Hoover had a file on everybody.
Exactly.
You know? So this isn't new. What's new is the fact that now they don't have to pay human intelligence to rat people out. Now they have a more democratic way of doing it, which is letting you fucking rat yourself fucking out. Even though you don't know.
I read something today on an email from Newsmax, I believe it was. It said that if you get stopped by a policeman and they want to bring in a drug-sniffing dog, they have to have a warrant for that.
You see, that's interesting because a lot of the times when we used to go out and fucking get harassed by the cops,
yeah.
Dan used to be the one that said, you need a warrant for this, you need a warrant for that. And we're sitting there looking at Dan like, shut the fuck up. But usually Dan got us out of a hell of a lot of fucking trouble by saying it because the cops are like, wait a minute. Like one time, fucking, I'm not going to bring this up. I can't. Wait, hold on for a second. Guys, hold on. Dan, play some music real quick while I ask you this question.
Busted. Yeah, and I can say no matter what you do in Arizona, they're going to pull you over and do what they want.
Yeah.
All right, so I got permission to say this. So one time, Dan got busted with like a trifling amount of weed, right? And Dan told the cops when he got busted, like, you don't have any probable cause to have found this in the fucking first place. The cops are like, hey, hey, whatever. So then his dad said...
What are you, a street lawyer? You a street lawyer? Is that what you are, a street lawyer?
Yeah, you're a street lawyer. I'm just a dumb jock with a fucking small dick and a gun. You a street lawyer, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, I am a street lawyer. That's what I told him. I know my rights.
So they take him in front of court, right? So Dan, his dad spoke for him, I think, at the time. And he just looked at the judge. He's like, the cop didn't have any probable cause. So the fucking, so what happened? The judge looked at the cop and was like, he didn't have any probable cause. He let you out, right?
I'm surprised. That doesn't happen. I got to say, though, I've had good experiences with cops recently. I recently went to court at, what was it, a 50... It was like a 53 and a 30, but it was one of those 30s. It's not really, shouldn't really be a 30. Anyway, he busted down a broken speedometer, man. So, Rapisarda, you're the man. Dude.
Yeah, they just want money, dude. Like, even in Tuxedo. Tuxedo, New York, ladies and gentlemen, if you're driving through it, make sure you go 5 miles under the fucking speed limit. Go 5 miles under the fucking speed limit.
Yeah, Tuxedo is corrupt.
It's very horrible. Good. And this ex-jock douchebag named Pat is like,
at least.
Is like the head cop over there. And he is like the biggest asshole you'll ever meet in your entire life. I, your host, got a fucking parking on pavement for doing 80 in a 55, dude. That is some fucking hot ass shit. Like, this is the hanging judge. This is like George, like that fucking Sheriff Arpaio asshole. That's what fucking Tuxedo is.
Hey, dude, I just saw today a really fun visual metaphor. It was a garbage truck, and in the front window, this guy had a picture of Sheriff Joe, like he was his hero. It was on this garbage truck, and I was like, oh, how appropriate.
Yeah, I know. Seriously, how fucking appropriate indeed. You know, how fucking appropriate indeed, because that guy's a fucking menace.
He's a douche.
He's a Nazi.
Yeah. Yeah, of course he's. I mean, he runs a concentration camp, and he's fucking proud of it.
Who's this?
The thing he does that irritates the hell out of me is he I don't know why he does this. I think the guy, I don't know what he is. He makes the prisoners wear pink underwear.
Yeah, and pink outies, too. Like, the whole fucking uniform's pink until you earn your way out of it, and then you're allowed to wear white again.
I don't know what's up with that.
You know what's up with that? I'll tell you what's up with that. It's the same thing we do in Guantanamo Bay. Wow, that was a good belch. That was the same fucking thing we do in Guantanamo Bay.
Was there any vodka in that one?
Yeah, there was definitely vodka in that one. Fucking, the thing that we did in Guantanamo Bay is we dressed them all up in the orange jumpsuits. And as they become more cooperative with us and don't go on hunger strikes and make us shove fucking tubes down their fucking nose, what we wind up doing is we wind up rewarding them by giving them white robes. It's so fucking funny that if you compare Guantanamo's treatment to Arpaio's fucking prison, it's the same fucking shit. And it is a crime against fucking humanity is what the fuck it is, making these people live in the middle of a fucking desert.
My uncle spent time in Tent City, and he's no longer alive because the Phoenix police had shot him. So I have a real rub with all these guys, and they really are a bunch of just fascist fucks.
Well, what
and
happened?
They get,
what did he...
And they get off on this stuff here, you know? The redneck mentality of, you know, might makes right, and we're going to be saving this place by getting rid of the vermin of you is really prevalent, and I'm seeing it more. You know, I'm concerned. I love what Frank on the Frank Factor talks about, but, you know, I see more people not getting together in those small groups but wanting to you know, blame people like us who aren't intelligent enough to say, hey, we need to look at 9/11 because this is the cause of why this is all going on and this corporate takeover that Chris Hedges talks about. But we don't get any of this, you know, out there enough amongst people because they just totally deny it and would rather, you know, believe in Big Brother.
Yeah, exactly, because they would rather be safe than fucking sorry. And meanwhile, you're being sorry by being fucking safe. You know what I mean? It's so fucking stupid. And what drives me nuts, in order to get anywhere in this world, you have to take risks. You have to take risks, you have to be bold, and you have to tell people what you want. Okay? And that's not what we're doing as a population. We're being coddled, pacified, told that we're individuals by buying the same shit everybody else has. What fucking sense does that make? There's a class communism in this country. Like, I remember, like, bringing back your Soviet point, which was a great one, Snow. All right? I remember when everybody was downing on me because I was Russian and everything. It's like, oh, look, they have the same shitty car. They all live in the same shitty apartment. I walked outside my fucking door. Everybody has the same shitty house, the same shitty car, the same shitty fucking lawnmower, the same cable TV, the same television set. And you're going to tell me it's different? You're going to tell me Coke and Pepsi are fucking different, man? Come on. Come on with this bullshit. You know what I mean? And it's all bullshit. That's all it is. I mean, if you look at what Russia went through, they lost fucking 30 million people in that war, plus 15 more million that Stalin killed, because there was a civil war going on in the country while they were fighting the Germans.
Yeah, they're still finding bodies in the wheat fields of the Ukraine.
That's what I mean. 45 million fucking people gone. How are they competing with us? They didn't. We made it look like they were. We made it look like they were the big bad wolf. But if you look at the defense fucking expenditures between both countries, we were outspending them 10 to 1 like we are now. They were a fake threat. And if you think about it even further, we had such close ties and cooperation after World War II that there is a very strong chance that the whole Cold War was a lie to support both countries' arms industries, to police the world more efficiently through two fucking anchors as opposed to one. And again, when you only have two choices, it's an ultimatum, ladies and gentlemen. There's no freedom there, which also usually means that they're cooperating together.
You could be 100% right in that, my friend. I mean, right on the money.
It drives me nuts to think that, like, think about it like this. Once the Russians collapsed, once the Soviet Union collapsed, we almost collapsed. We almost had the same exact fucking collapse, and then all of a sudden Iraq happened, like a miracle. Almost like George Bush told April Gillespie that it was okay for Saddam Hussein to invade Kuwait. Almost that good. And then all of a sudden it all happened again, and then we had a new enemy and a whole bunch of Muslims to kill. The same Muslims that we propped up against the same Soviet Union.
Yeah, now the enemy's here, and we have to look and watch all of you and make sure you're not, you know, saying anything that's going to make us suspect you of being someone that's going to be not compliant with the state.
But can you blame them? Because if once people really figure out that the whole thing was a lie, that all these people that died supposedly for blood, honor, and country were really just dying so everybody could test their fucking weapons and make money. I don't know. I think it's a smart move on their end to survey us. Because we are the enemy. Because we were the ones that are getting used. We are the battered wife. We're the ones that keep running the daddy because there ain't no other daddy there because we're not smart enough to look for a new daddy or to make one for our fucking selves.
It's you know what? It's easier. I write fiction, okay? I don't have anything published yet, but one of the things I came up with the other day I was a little proud of. It's easier. This is one problem with, I don't know if it's the human race or it's just Americans. I haven't traveled as much maybe to know this, but it's easier to submit to a higher power than to be accountable for your own actions.
Yes.
You know, and a lot of people fall into that complacency, you know, and I think that's a large problem. It's a psychological problem. But it is definitely forwarded by, I think, the people you work for sometimes, by advertising, things like that.
Yeah, it's the constant reinforcement and propagandizing of you being the individual buying into the same shit everybody's buying into. It's wonderful. Hey, look, I can dance around with my white iPhone headphones, even though I have all Apple shit now. Like, you know what I mean? It's just so cheap. And they treat you so cheap, and they treat your lives so cheap, and then they dope you on this bullshit religion that you're going to live after this. There's a really good chance, ladies and gentlemen, that this is it. There ain't going to be no fucking heaven for you to go to, or no hell for you to rot in. There's a real good chance that this is it.
Say it ain't so.
But you know what I mean, though? If this is it, then we should be treating it like this is it. And if God's there, then that's a fucking icing on the cake, not the fucking cake itself, for fuck's sake.
If God was up there, don't you think he would have taken about as much shit as he could with all the bullshit that's going on, and finally decided to step up and say, all right, motherfuckers, I've had enough. This is bullshit. I'm calling bullshit on Earth. I mean, you think... That's how I think about it. Either that or he sent Jesus.
But that's the thing.
You motherfuckers are crazy. What's wrong with you people?
But that's the whole thing. It's our fault. It's not God's fault, and I know you didn't say that, but it's not anybody else's fault but ours, because we have the vote still. We put these people in power because we believe. It's a
greed runs the world, man. I hope people understand that. It's all about fucking greed.
It isn't. What it is that they made it about greed. We need to make it about something else. We need to make it about accountability. We need to make it about affordability. We need to make it about our lives, because this is the only life we have. Dead dad is not coming out of the ground.
Greed. We're talking about affordability. The Sheriff Arpaio country, Arizona, mm-hmm. is actually talking about charging people up to $100 a month, maybe more, for having solar panels on their roof. Now, what in the fuck is the reason you put solar panels on your roof?
I mean, to save money, but obviously he's trying to get money. I mean, could that even be possible for him to do though?
Yeah, exactly.
Man, how do you tax the sun? Who gives the government a right to tax the fucking sunlight?
But it's just like that episode with Mr. Burns where he actually does block out the sunlight. They have the right to do everything because we were stupid enough to give them the power to do it. And until we form a workers' party based solely on economic issues and not on personal bullshit opinion issues, until we all unite, libertarian, liberal, socialist, and communist alike, we have a common enemy. And they are an enemy because they treat us like a fucking enemy. And I'm sick of beating around the bush about this shit. People always tell me not to call them the enemy. They are the fucking enemy because they treat you like the fucking enemy. They are
a fucking enemy.
You got
states in this country now that you can't collect fucking rainwater off the top of your house. Now, why? Come on, let's get down and dirty. Why?
Because we're the enemy. And we're not treating them like the fucking enemy. They're the fucking enemy.
We keep collecting these same rotten, dirty, corrupt cocksuckers over and over again, and then we wonder why they're fucking us.
But that's exactly it. Our founders gave us a fucking way to defeat our enemies without having to get violent. He gave us a government, and they gave us a structure for us to vote people in. Now everybody says, oh, but everybody votes Democrat and Republican. Did you look at the voter turnout? Only one-third of the population fucking voted. That means that only one-sixth of the population is telling us what to do at any given time. There is five-sixths of a population out there dying for something that's not Democrat or Republican. The only reason why anybody believes that they're the only choice is because they get so sucked in to this drama we call politics and not getting sucked into the drama that's called life.
You know what it is, too? Like, people are so afraid of change. Like, the idea of voting for somebody that's not a Democrat or Republican, oh, my God, it's so unconventional. It's so crazy. What's going to happen? The gates
but
of hell are going to open up. Like,
change.
I agree with you, man. I like change.
If you
I embrace
don't bring
change.
Change into it. You're stuck with these tired, old, sad, corrupt pricks.
Exactly. Yep. See, what we're going through right now is the Dark Ages. There's no two ways about it. We're going through the Dark Ages right now, where we have a bunch of crazy, radical assholes telling us what to do all the time. Now, I know some of you in the audience are like, well, hey, you're a crazy radical asshole, and you tell us what to do all the time. But you know what? What I'm telling you to do is organize.
And he's not going to exploit you either.
Exactly. Jesus Christ. I even tell people, oh, I want one of your t-shirts. Don't buy it. It's from Cafe Press. It's a fucking ripoff. Don't buy the t-shirt. Don't buy the mugs. They're just up there in case some rich asshole wants to think they're part of the thing. They can fucking send me $2 fucking. But don't buy the shit. It's garbage. It's just there for fucking flash. I'll never ask you people for a fucking cent. Ever. Because I want fucking justice. I want a country that I could fucking maybe have a couple children in and not feel ashamed that they have to deal with this shit after I'm gone. That's what I want. I want my friends that have babies to live in a country where they know they could go in the army and know they're not going to get sent to die for some fucking oil company's bullshit.
I want to live in a fucking country that will educate everybody's child. Send everybody's child who wants to college on the government fucking dole.
Yes. Because the only people that prosper from our education are the capitalists. That's why our education sucks. You know why? Because it's all about making money and it's not about doing anything else. It's not about curing people or finding a new way to another planet or to fucking make all our lives easier so we can all have clean water and food to drink. It's all about money and profit and greed. And if you read Marx, you'll know that profit is completely and totally artificial and is tacked on by the manufacturer. It's bullshit. It's a way of you saying, fuck you to your fellow man. I need a little extra for fucking you now. It is godless, it is unconscionable, and believe me, if capitalism was the form of production since the time Christ died, we would have gone nowhere as a people.
And you know what, if government
nowhere.
Was working for us, you know how much a gallon of gas would cost? Under $1 a gallon, maybe 70 cents.
Absolutely, considering we have trillions of barrels of fucking shale oil trapped underneath our earth, there is no shortage of oil on this planet. None. There is absolutely zero excuse. The only reason why we pay so much for gasoline, because we are the number one exporter of gasoline in the fucking world, is because we give it to the whole world.
Right.
We don't just save it for our own citizens. Why would we fucking do that?
No money. No money in it.
Exactly. And by selling it to other countries where they don't have oil and other things, we can artificially raise the price to $4 a gallon here, where in reality it should only be $3 to $2.50 at most. And then I read this bullshit in the AP telling me that fucking higher gas prices are good for the economy. Whose fucking economy is that good for? Not mine. I only have to travel to work 2 miles a day, and it's still
that's
not good for mine.
Propaganda is all that is.
Of course it's propaganda. The problem is that that's all there is propaganda. Like, you always ask, Robeck, what can we do? What we're doing is a hell of a lot more than most fucking people are doing, because at least we're talking about how much they lie, steal, and fuck all of us. At least we're doing that. Okay? Most people don't even bother doing that. They'll just, oh, I'll do a comedy show, or I'll talk about sports all day, or hey, I'll talk about the time I tripped out on fucking acid at the Pink Floyd show. But you know what I'm saying? Oh my God. Let me give the number one more time in case anybody wants to jump in for the last 15 minutes. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Again, you're listening to us live and direct on PRN.FM, as well as InYourFaceRadio.net, as well as BadTomato.FM. 888-874-4888.
I just wish there was something more we could do besides talk on internet radio.
There is more, but the thing is, Groves, we have to start organizing. We have to start devoting at least an hour out of our lives a day into promoting a workers' party. We need to start talking about the fact that the Republicans and the Democrats are nothing more than the same fucking, the two different hands on the same fucking body. We need to start addressing that. And by addressing that,
for 20 years.
Well, hopefully by addressing that, smarter people will fucking prevail. And by doing more quality shows like we've been doing, except from last week, which was a fucking pig fuck. I mean, by doing quality shows, by being entertaining, what we're doing is using their fucking devices against them. We need
See,
to
I'm,
do the
I'm
same thing.
I'm at the
thing.
Other end of the coin. I'm looking at what we, what people watch on television today. Honey Boo Boo.
Well, that was months ago, but yeah, I steal you.
It's still going, dude. It's still going.
That bitch is still going.
Yeah, they just started a new season.
Yeah, we need to take the airwaves back.
from the court. I mean, we really do. There are airwaves.
Well, that's why I love Gary. Gary has a fucking wonderful thing going on at PRN.FM. He does.
We've got
Schechter. We've got Fader. We've got fucking Gary's a fucking maniac on the mic. He's unstoppable,
awesome.
Dude. Especially when he gets rolling. Fuck that.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't stand in front of him, man. And I'm not saying that because he's my boss. I'm saying that because this motherfucker knows his shit.
But we need more Gary's. We need more Batman. We need more. We need.
And that's why we're gonna bring it more. I'm not fucking stopping.
Brains in this country. We're not growing brains in this country. Unfortunately, I mean, I'm looking. I'm down here in South Louisiana. We're not trying to educate down here. Education is a fucking joke, man. It's a joke.
What about? You got a shrimping school going on over there?
They might have a shrimping school.
I want to go to that shit.
I'll be honest with you, and you're going to think I'm being flip. I think the shrimp have more fucking brains than most of the people down here.
But you see, that's
I'm amazed how dumbed down, how easily dumbed down we are. How easily it is for them to put what I consider tripe on TV and people suck it up.
You see, and I agree with you, and Clay is like, oh, don't call people sheep. That'll turn people off to the show. People are sheep, man. I'm sorry, Clay. People are fucking sheep, bro. They've been sheep since the fucking dawn of time.
Yeah, there are a lot of assholes. A lot of assholes in this country.
But the thing is also, though, is the miracle that happened. And it's not a miracle for the rest of you people. So this is my personal miracle. I'm nobody, man. I'm just some guy upstate that used to fucking yell at his friends all day. Like, I used to yell at Dan about politics all day. I used to yell at people all fucking day about shit. Wake up, all this crap. I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd be sitting in New York City doing this.
Me too. I'm going to say I am Jimmy Boyle and Mary Boyle's son, Donald Boyle. That's who I am.
And listen.
I've been Grobeck since 2000. I came on the computer, went in the Yahoo chat. They needed a screen name. I came up with Grobeck. Just happened to bump into JD in a fucking chat room, a politics chat room, and the rest is what it is.
And my thing is, though, is the fact that since we are all nobodies, we have hundreds of people listening to us. We have a responsibility to continue doing what we're doing. If we weren't relevant and we weren't doing the right thing, believe me, I would not be sitting here. Our message and our movement is real. Our ideas have been purged. We've been killed, shot at, thrown in concentration camps, called communist, godless, hedonist, Satanist, all these things. And our ideas still endure, no matter how many of us get killed, no matter how many of us get defamed.
Go. Obviously, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, it is obvious that somebody out there listening to you, personally, you, like what you said because they stepped up and helped you get your little studio.
Exactly.
And I'm telling you, my friend, that fucking says volumes not only about you, but about that person that stepped up. That's something. When somebody will do something that kind to somebody, and I don't know if you know this person, it doesn't matter. Somebody did this for you. And the fact that they did this for you lends you credence, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. I mean,
welcome.
I mean, yeah, no, and I thank the person that did it, too, because they do mean the world to me, and it was very unexpected. I did not expect it at all, and it blew me away. But that's the thing.
I had something like that happen to me. After Katrina hit, I was in this chat room every day of my life before Katrina. And I knew some of these people personally. I knew them. I didn't talk to them. I've never shook their hand. But I knew them. I knew how to call them on their phone. Well, Katrina hit. I'm lost for a week. I finally get back. A fucking chat room in Yahoo collected almost $5,000 for me.
You see?
That blows me away still today. My older brother used to say, you waste all that fucking time sitting on that computer. Then Katrina hit. Then it took us 2 months, 3 months to find each other because he went to Florida. We found each other, and when I told him that, he said, I take everything back. I said, bad about chat. No, even though he doesn't do the computer at all.
All right.
there's got to be something to it. And these are people that some people I knew, some people I really didn't know.
Well, hold up, Grobeck. We actually have another caller. 207, you're on the air with us. Hit me.
Hi, it's Ashley.
Ashley, yeah. What's up, girl? How are you?
I'm terrible. How are you?
Wow, Jesus. Yeah, no, I've had a bad week, too. What's going on, babe? What's happening?
Oh, well, I've been trying to call for like a half hour, but I'm dyslexic, so I can't get the number when you say it.
And it's all eights, too. It's 888-874-4888. But if you read it backwards, it's weird, too.
And Sal and Paul have been trying to give me the number, but they gave me the wrong number. Nah. And then
they gave you the 315 number.
Maybe you should stop the codeine and cocaine.
Nah, never stop the codeine or the cocaine. That's the best part.
I know, right?
But, yeah.
I'm just joking with you.
Yeah, I got it. I got it. We're good.
Yeah, I hope so. Jesus.
Nice.
So, sorry I called 5 minutes before you're done.
I don't care. Actually, this fills up the 5 minutes perfectly, to be honest with you, because I didn't know where the fuck to go after this.
He's been waiting for your call.
Of course I have. I fucking love you.
Aw, thanks. I love you, too.
Damn straight. So what's up? Vent.
Nice.
Let it out, Ashley.
There's something going on here, I think.
No, there's a lot going on here. Ashley's like one of the sexiest women ever.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm going to come visit.
Please, you better. If you don't come visit me, I'm going to be very upset.
I'm going to. I'm so excited.
Oh,
it's going to be fucking epic.
Dude, I'm so ready for you. You don't even fucking know how ready I am.
Can I come on the show?
Yeah, of course. Dude, we're going to do the show from my house. You're going to be my co-host. We're going to have some fucking fun. Trust me.
Can I do the show naked?
Fuck yeah, you can do the show
naked.
Whipped
up on cocaine?
Yeah, definitely. We're going to be whipped up on a lot of cocaine. Trust me on that. We're going to be doing...
Can you put a webcam on that show?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to do lines off of every part of your body.
Shit. Oh, shit.
To be honest with you.
There we go.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fun show.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Right.
I'm
going to
wear my hooker boots, though. That's it.
Oh, that's totally cool. I'm just going to, like, whip my cock out, and that's it, too.
Perfect.
Exactly. Oh, God, you're so hot. Oh, man, that really threw me off, but I like that, though. 888.
I think we just let the whole show. Oh, sorry, I stepped on the number.
No, you can step on the number. That's Clay being the dick. That's not me. I'm open to that shit. But I'll give it anyway. 888-874-4888. Wow, I got a halfie right now. Jesus Christ.
I think we just let the show in on our love affair.
Yeah, I don't mind. Fuck them. They can know. They can know. I'm just going to touch myself really quick if you don't mind.
No, we dig you, Ashley.
How can you not dig Ashley? She's like perfectly tattooed. You know, she's got like... I hate girls with short hair. Ashley looks fucking hot with short hair. Like, if Ashley got long hair, I'd be pissed. I'm like...
Yeah, I look terrible with long hair.
Dude, you would never look terrible. You would look hot in a potato sack and a pair of sweatpants.
Very sweet voice, too, man. All I can hear is the voice. Very sweet voice.
Wait till you see her grow. Jesus Christ. It, like, go to the Bear Man group and look in the top thing, and she's like the only hot girl in the Bear Man group, and you're going to be like,
the only one.
Well, no, I mean, actually, Amanda's really cute, too, but, you know.
Oh, shit, Ashley. You might have to kick her ass.
No, you're not.
I'm not worried about
Amanda,
it.
Amanda is my best friend, and no one's kicking Amanda's ass because I will beat them. But Ashley's my lover, and I love Ashley.
And I don't fight, so I'm like the most docile person in the world.
That's all right. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, you're not that docile in all aspects, though, from what I understand.
Well, in fighting, I am.
Well, that's fine. I'll do the fighting. I'll definitely do the fighting. I love fighting, by the way. 888-874-4888. The only reason why I'm doing this segment is because I'm like so aroused right now. It's retarded. Like, honestly, like, the first thing I'm going to do when I see you is I'm going to put my hand, like, my arms, like, right around your waist, and I'm going to pull you right to me, and I'm just going to kiss you as deeply as I possibly can.
Oh, that's romantic.
Oh, you don't even know. You don't even know how fantastic that's going to be. I can't wait to just see how soft your tongue is in my mouth.
And then?
It's going to be amazing.
We're not going to tell you guys everything, geez.
Yeah, exactly. We got to, you know, we're just talking about kissing here. Kissing's very fine, and it's good, and it's encouraged, actually, by everyone. Everyone, if you get a chance to kiss somebody tonight, please do so. Please do so. Please do so. Oh, yes. So,
next month, it's on.
Oh, yeah, it's on. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's ask everyone around the table what we have and haven't learned tonight. Dan, what have you learned tonight?
I have not learned how to... educate young people with the truth.
Very good. Grobeck, how about you?
I just went and looked at my Facebook. Ashley is a friend of mine, and she is as pretty as her voice is pretty.
Smoking.
Aw, thanks.
That's amazing. Jesus Christ, Snowman?
Yeah, I learned that Dan and I both don't have health insurance, and I didn't learn that Bill Press is a fascist gay bear.
Thank you very much, because he is a fascist gay bear. Thank you. Thank you for interjecting that. And Ashley, have you learned anything from this brief encounter?
Unfortunately, I spent the last hour trying to get the phone number, but I did learn the 888 number, so I'll have it next time.
Not bad. See, we're learning something. And, ladies and gentlemen, what I would like to impart with you is this, is that right now we're going through a period of very fucking dark, shitty times. And the best way to remedy that is to find the girl who's long and tall, perfectly tattooed, to fantasize and hopefully get together with. So, anyway, I think we can end the show now, right? Can we end the show, guys? Is that okay?
Go for it.
There we go. So, from me to you, peace and ass grease. Ding dong.
Thanks for listening.
You can join in on Bearman Radio's syndicated live show every Thursday night at 9 p.m. in the East. Just point your computer or mobile device to badtomato.fm, prn.fm, or inyourfaceradio.net. Please subscribe to Bearman Radio on iTunes, and for more information about the show, go to the Death Star, bearmanradio.com.
Turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream. It is not dying.
Listening to PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.